Blog Talk Radio.
Besides, relationships are people that are just waiting for something better to come along.
Spoken like a cynic.
I'm not a cynic. I'm a realist.
Who are a realist masquerading as a cynic who is secretly an optimist.
Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. It is Tuesday night, October 14th, and you are listening to the Airy Woman Talk Show. And I am your host, Lee Wells. How's everybody doing tonight? I hope everybody's listening in. Hope some people call in and chat with me. We have some serious conversations we want to talk about tonight. As always, we have serious conversations. I think this one touches home a little more than others. We're talking about breast cancer. We're talking about domestic violence. We're talking about what it does to the person and what it does to the families and how everybody copes with it. So good evening. Once again, welcome to the Every Woman Talk Show. You know, we've talked about cancer, breast cancer in particular with women and what it does, you know, the second having breasts taken off and how it makes you feel less than a woman. And I've talked to several different women about this, older women, younger women, and I've gotten different response from, you know, both sectors, older and younger. And the older women, I think they feel a little different. They've lived their life already. They've had their fun. The younger women feel like they are lost. I mean, if somebody can call in, tell me if they know someone's gone through this or if they've gone through this. Just give me some touch outs and talks about this. But we don't want to just keep touching on breast cancer because it's not just breast cancer.
That's right. That's right. What's going on, Uli? You know, listen, we had a call right at this point. Right now, he's usually Mr. Nass, and I'm just joining Uli on this conversation. I don't know what happened, but we can see can we get her in. So, you know, once again, welcome to the Every Woman Talk Show. And we're going to get it back. So what I'm going to do is we're going to bring Uli back online. So just, you know, stay tuned for a second. Be right back with you.
Tune in and listen to Uli Wells, guest, as they do the Every Woman Talk Show. The show's about forward. Every Tuesday night, here, Shadow World.
I was so excited when I was asked to be the host of the Every Woman Talk Show. I think it's a forum where we get a chance to express everything. But the funny thing about it for me is, even though it's hosted by a woman, it's not just for women. I like the views of men and women. I mean, we talk about things from relationships. You can't get one point of view. You have to get both points of view. So it's a show that I think is very versatile. We talk about politics, relationships, money. We talk about all kinds of things. So it's a show I think that everybody would like to listen to. So listen in. Hi, it's Julie Wells from the Every Woman Talk Show, and you're listening to Shadow World Radio. Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. I don't know what happened. We had a little difficulty just now. Let's get back into the conversation. As I was saying, it's not just about breast cancer. It's about cancer all over the board. Cancer in men, cancer in women, cancer in children. It's one of those diseases that does not pick color, does not pick race, does not pick, it doesn't pick anything. It'll target anybody. And we want to talk about that as well. I also want our men to know that this is a talk show hosted by women, but not only for women. So please, feel free to call in, give us your opinion on things, tell me what you want to hear on our show, tell us what we can do to make you more inviting to come in with us. But in the meantime, let's get to some statistics. Let's see.
Okay, okay. Uli, how you doing tonight?
I'm hanging in there. I'm hanging in there. It's a touchy subject. You know, a touchy subject. I have known several people who have gone through this, not my family in particular, but
okay.
So we want to make sure that people are aware of what's going on. You know, we try to do the breast cancer walk. You guys had a wonderful walk last year, and we want to continue to try to support. It's our first time back, the first show. I'm excited about it. We've got so much to talk about. We want to enlighten people on so many different things. But it's funny because we were talking the other day with a couple of girls in my work, because one of the girls, her mother is actually going through chemo now. And it's more so the mother's holding stronger than the daughter is. And you know, it's so funny that you see that more often than the nun. You see the person who's actually being struggling through the disease being stronger than the family members who are just watching them struggle through the disease.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask a question, Uli. I mean, all right, I have family members. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I know it's easy to, how you say, you know, tell someone, you know, pray for you, or you're going to, you know, what's the word looking for?
It's
going to
be okay.
We'll pray for you, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't speak for women. I really can't. Women that's going through this, and, you know, of course, you know, my heart is with them. How do you, I mean, what type of motivation? I mean, I know the support groups, and I hear all that. How, I mean, can you talk to some women that's listening, that how do you get them through that? I mean, what energy can they use or something that can help them get through this, you know, they're going through this breast cancer? How do you talk to these women?
You know what? I don't know whether or not what we say does it for them. I think they've got to pull it from inside, because you know how we say, when someone says to us, oh, everything's going to be okay, the first thing we say is, how do you know? Are you going through this? Are you experiencing this?
Right.
Is this something that you're dealing with? So even though we're polite about it, in the back of our minds, we're literally saying, shut up, because you have no idea what I'm going through. You have no idea what I'm about to face. So I don't think anything that we say literally gets them through it. I think it just helps them day by day get in it. But I think it's what they have to pull out of themselves that is going to help them get through it. They can go through all the counseling. They can go through all, you know, all their prayers with their churches or with their masjids or with their synagogue. They can go anywhere they want to go. But I think it has to come from within. And I'm only talking from an outside person. I really don't know.
Okay. I mean, all right, now, you know, you got family members, you know, that you know, they want to be supportive. But, you know, I personally, you know family members who's going through this. I mean, how do you you know, show support for them, you know, being a man? I mean, you know, without kind of like rocking a boat or making them just go overboard. I mean, what, you know, give us some advice for
men talking to family members. I think, and not just from men, but from the women's perspective, too, I think if we don't make them feel like they're handicapped, and we don't continuously ask them, how are you doing? How are you feeling? Do you need that reminds them every day there's something wrong. There's something that might happen. So I think if we just treat them like we treated them before us, knowing that they were diagnosed, but still looking out for them, might make them feel as strong as they were prior to the diagnosis.
Okay. Do you think, I mean, does faith play a part in helping people deal with these, you know, with breast cancer? I mean, I'm only speaking as a man. I mean, I don't have an answer.
I guess faith would definitely, you know, play a big part, but I think that's even tested. You know, why me? You know, if God loves me, why me? Whatever God you choose, I think that's even tested at that point. You know, whether we believe in the God that we believed in so long, why me? So I think
right,
at that point,
right,
you know, even your faith is being tested. But if you're strong in your faith, you'll get over that and you'll, you know, overcome it and everything will work out. You know, some women have beat it. Some have not. We don't know the cause of why some have beaten, some have not. You know, maybe it was early diagnosis or, you know, being very healthy. On the other hand, you know, it seems like looking at some of the statistics that white women are more likely to develop breast cancer than African Americans, and I don't think people knew that.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's so
Is there a reason why for that?
I don't think they know. The same reason why they don't know why, you know, Crohn's is more susceptible to whites, or the same reason why they don't know why high blood pressure is more. Well, we kind of got an idea about the high blood pressure thing, but, you know, I don't think they really know. But it's such a simple testing to have done periodically to make sure that you're okay. But do you know how many women don't do it? I can raise my hand. I am so guilty of it, and I don't know if I'm afraid of what the answer is going to be, or I'm afraid of just the testing itself. Oh, it hurts so bad. Then I keep saying, that doesn't hurt. So, I think it's a mixture of both for me, but I'm going because it's so important that, and I don't want to leave them, you know, here for something so simple as not knowing.
I'm glad you're doing it. I really am. And I know there's a lot of young people, even those who listen to the archives, you know, they want to be encouraged by those who haven't done it, that it's going to take that step to do it.
Absolutely.
I'm very happy that you're doing it. I know my wife, she recently did a mammogram, she was talking to me like, I hope the results is,
Especially if you've had anything in your family, whether it be in your immediate family or further down the line, it's a scary situation. I mean, but like I said, let's not just talk about breast cancer. We're talking about cancer in general. What about men? What about prostate cancer? We're talking about cancer, period. Get tested. You know, one good thing was, breast cancer dropped 7% from 2002 to 2003. But I don't know where we're at now. So it may have dropped because more people were being tested and more people were eating more healthier. Like, we don't even know what cancer stems from. You know, we could say it's the food we eat. We could say it's generic. It's in our bloodline. But where did it come from?
Wow. I know right now. I know that we're trying to pull stats. We talk about stats. Let's talk to our African minorities. Let me just say minorities. You know, you got our African Americans. You got our Latino women. I know it's an overall issue. There's no color when it comes to that. But why is it more different in our urban communities? I apologize, audience. Why is it different for people, women of color, to go do these testing compared to other races? If I'm not saying it right, I apologize.
No, you are. You're making a valid point. I think that's a problem we have in general with our race, with our black men too. You know, they don't go get prostate cancer checks as much as they should. And the women don't do what they're supposed to do in reference to not just cancer, but getting checked, period. You know, I think I don't know why we do this, and maybe it's because we were just taught that way. Maybe our parents didn't do it, and their parents didn't do it, and other nationalities. I think if it's something that has happened in their family, then they make sure that that's passed on. Check that. But I did find out that in 2014, there's more than 2.8 million women with some kind of history of breast cancer in the U.S. That's a lot of women. But let's just think about the women who haven't been tested yet.
Wow, that's not even including the women that have been tested. Or is that just an estimate?
It's just an estimate. And it's an estimate because half of us, we're talking about 2.1 million women, but we know it's more than 2.1 million women in the world. So if I haven't been tested, how many of me haven't been tested?
That's scary. That's
it is. It really is.
And in our young girls too.
And in our young girls, like I said, there is no age, there is no race, there is no religion. It attacks whatever, whoever, however, you know. And it's just sad. It's one of the most devastating diseases, I think, that's out here because it's still here. It's prevalent. It's still here.
Wow. Why? All right, I see in sports, I see people, we make it just, it's an important topic and important to, our general health, especially women, as well as men. Mm-hmm. Why we just choose 1 month, to kind of put emphasis on it? Why can't it be a longer campaign? I know they have sporadic things, but the more emphasis are on October, it would be Breast Cancer Month.
I don't think that it just goes away for the people who are experiencing or the families or the people who promote it all the time. I think it's just the one time where they blow it up. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it just goes away and it's like, we're never going to talk about this till next October. I don't think it's like that. I just think that we hear about it more now because this is the month that they chose to make it a big issue in. But just like, you know, like last year when we did our Black History Month. We don't need 1 month to know that we're black. We know every day we're black, so we should not have 1 day just to celebrate who we are. And so I don't think they just take 1 month to do this. I think we only see it so big, so wide in that particular month. I'm quite sure that you have people who are doing walks all over the world all year long who are just donating money or are just, you know, doing different things that are not the same as just in October. So I don't think they just talk about it in October. I think it's an all-year thing.
Wow. Well, you know, I'm sitting here, you know, I'm going through something. I know we talk about women. I know the show is not only just for women. I'm sitting here just, it's amazing because I'm seeing that there's actually men can get breast cancer, according to the report I'm reading over here on WebMD. You know, it's saying it's rare for men under 35. Breast cancer, the chance of a man getting breast cancer goes up with age. Most breast cancer happens to men between the ages of 60 and 70. Other risk factors for male cancer includes breast cancer, I guess it goes through the genes, family relatives, history of radiation exposure, enlargement of breast, even with men, from drug or hormone treatments, infections or poisons, estrogen, taking estrogen for all my guys out there lifting weights and bodies. Be careful what you put in your bodies because this can also lead to it. Severe liver damage, disease of the testicles, such as mumps, testicular injury. You know, oh man, fellas, please listen. This is real. I mean, it can happen to men too. I mean, so listen up, fellas. You know, as you get older, you lifting all those weights, it happens. I'm almost sure there have some other men out there, so please, you know, what are we talking about? It's important, you know, for real. This is just real talk.
I'm such a bad person to tell you. I'm on the air telling people what they need to do, and I myself have not. Now, mind you, I've set my date up to do it, but we're not going to talk about AIDS, so we ain't going to tell them put my secrets out there. But should have done this a while ago. Let's just put it like that. Should have been done a while ago. And I have no excuse whatsoever. And I think now I'll go to the GYN to get checked out on a regular basis. And every time I go, he says, I really just want to pop you because I give you this form to go get this done. And I don't see it coming to my things. And I said, this girl didn't go again. And I'm like, I'm going. I'm going to go this time. And I don't go again. But I said, after listening to some of the friends that I have who their parents are going through it now, it's important. You know, I think for me as a young woman, it wasn't important to me because I could say, I didn't have anybody die of breast cancer. I didn't have my family with that, so I'm good. But you're not, because it really had nothing to do with that. It really has nothing to do with that.
Right, of course. I'm getting a text. Let me see. I'm just reading some chats. I'm getting a couple texts early online. Let me see. Okay, I'm trying to make the person's name out. I think it says Tanisha. Let me read this around here. No, I'm sorry. Alnisha, I apologize. Alnisha's, she's calling. Well, she's texting from, okay, she's from Jersey. She's 17 years old. You know, is it possible for a 17-year-old to get breast cancer?
Absolutely.
She's that young.
Absolutely. Especially if it's hereditary in the family. Like we said, it doesn't, I mean, you look at the commercials. Look at the little kids who are, and let's stop focusing on breast cancer, because I promise you, that's not the only cancer that can kill you. So we need us to stop focusing on breast cancer. And we know it's breast cancer awareness month. We are 100% aware of that. But we need to focus on cancer, period. Period. You have the little kids who are 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 with some form of cancer. And they don't make it. So, yes, at 17, you can, and you can't, like we said, you can get it from, and it's so crazy that they're saying cell phones can do this and cell phones can give you that, and we don't know. We really don't know what it is, but if you eat healthy, eat well, take care of your body, live right, do the right things that need to, let's pray. You never have to worry about something like that. But if you feel like you are uncomfortable with not knowing, tell your mother. You can get tested early. You can definitely go get tested early. And also, if it's hereditary in your family, if you know family members who have already had some form of cancer, get checked. Get checked now. Go to your doctor. Talk to your doctor. Ask your doctor what should you do. Should you wait till you're 20, 25, 30? Because you don't have to have a mammogram until you are 35. And then
okay.
It's mandatory that you have it. And it's mandatory that you have it. Like I said, we're not going to talk about numbers with me. Pass that date. But if you're really nervous about, and I'm so excited. Just 17, you're listening to the show. I'm excited.
Okay. You know, I mean, I know we had a couple of people from the local colleges. I know in the Rutgers area, a couple of the postings out there on the social media network. I know that a couple of people from Rutgers. She says she's from Rutgers in Newark. So shout out to Rutgers.
Shout out.
Calling. Shout out to Rutgers. You know, young people, please. You know, the show is not just a certain age group, it's for everyone, you know, the ladies, mm-hmm. especially the ladies. It's about empowerment. You know, if you want to call in, the number, if you're just listening to the show, the number 646-478-4507. Excuse me. You're online with Udi Wells, your host for the evening, and she's going to try to keep it real with you and always keep it right. You know, that's her mantra right there, keep it real and keep it right. That's what Udi's all about, definitely.
I'm a monster. And I don't think I know it all. Let me just say this. Everything I'm saying is my own personal opinion, my own personal thoughts, my own personal me. I'm not giving advice to anybody. I'm not telling anybody how they need to do absolutely anything. It's just directly coming from me. And what I won't do is sugarcoat anything. That's the one thing I won't do.
Right. Of course. Definitely. Wow, let me see. Okay, do I have another text? Right, now this person hung up. All right. You know, we have a lot of listeners on the line. Yeah, we have a lot of listeners on the line. And, you know, that's okay. Sometimes people just want to listen. They just want to be part of the experience, you know. So, once again, the number is 646-478-4507. You know, I'm also
really
doing some
our listeners. Would really take the time to call in, though, because it's my opinion, your opinion, Matthew, or what we're talking about, it's great, it's wonderful, but to hear someone who's really experienced it firsthand, that's what I really wanted tonight. I really wanted to hear from someone firsthand who is experiencing breast cancer themselves or cancer in general, or someone who is a caregiver of someone who has been through the process of trying to survive cancer in itself. You know, I read some other stuff. Where did I read it at? I read it somewhere. It was saying that 62,570 new cases of non-invasive breast cancer cases are starting to arise, like, all over. So it's like, it's not going away. It's not going away. I guess how we treat it is what we're looking for now. We just want a treatment, a cure, so that if we find out we have it, we don't say it's a death sentence. I think that's what we're looking for now.
Okay, okay. I just got an anonymous, they just were they responding. They just said anonymous out of Ohio. They're basically asking, you know, how you go about as far as the researching of finding a specialist to help that. Uli, if I may, I found some information that helped out Anonymous from Ohio. They said, you know, basically, you know, you want to check with your primary care doctor. They'll probably be your first source in finding a referral cancer specialist. The doctor should have a list of, you know, and a good background of information that you need, because the doctor knows you. He knows your schematics, your health information, and that your first doctor is the one that's going to help you out, give you that information. And when you research the credentials of a specialist, you want to look at a couple of things. You want to find out how many procedural cases that doctor's been involved with in reference to the cancer. Also, you want to check the areas of special interest or research. Also, you know, check the hospitals that doctor's affiliated with, whether that doctor, especially this, you know, ladies and fellas, make sure that doctor's board certified in the area of specialty. You want to make sure that.
Of the cancer.
You know, also, and, you know, I'm getting this research, you know, online now. It says, you know, any fellowship or complete cancer care, you know, you want to check all that. And, you know, definitely want to find out where their doctor's trained at. I think that's the most important information, where they trained at. And also, if you don't have a doctor, you know, listen, the website, the online is perfect. You know, you want to check the American College of Surgeons, the American Society of Clinical, Oncology, my apologies for the pronunciation. But there's different ways that you can get right. There's different ways, Anonymous, that you can research that information. I know sometimes it's a scary subject. It's something that we sometimes don't want to talk about, whether white, black, Hispanic, or whatever. You know, this area, this subject is sensitive to myself as well, to a lot of people listening to the show. I mean, you know, when Uli said, "Look, let's do this show," I was all in. So I'm definitely in, and I hope I answered your question, Anonymous. That's the best that I can give you. So, I mean, you know, stay strong.
You know
what,
and also get the history of your background, your history. Get your history as far back as you can get it, because that's going to help you and your physician be able to figure out how extensive your testing should go. It's funny, we were just talking the other day. I do not drink water. I am the most unhealthy person you'll probably ever meet in your life. And I suffered from 3 kidney infections in 1 year. So now I force myself to drink water. But as I was sitting the other day, my mouth was so dry. And I said to myself, why is my mouth so dry? I'm drinking like gallons and gallons and gallons of water. But I have a history of diabetes in my family. So now what do I need to do? I need to go find out and go get tested for diabetes, because that's one of the first symptoms of dry mouth, you know, things like that. And I'm afraid to do that, because that I know for sure has run in my family.
Okay.
That I know for sure is there. But, you know, find out your history. Find out what's going on in your background, and take that information with you, because they need that information when you go into your primary. They want to go dig back as far as they can to give you the help that you're going to need. So try to dig into your, you know, your background as far as you can, to get all the health information you can about your mother, your father, their mother, their father, and their mother, and their father. Even aunts and uncles, even an aunt and an uncle, it's still a blood tie, and it's still in your bloodline. Even them having something could still, you know, trigger you having something. So figure out that and take that to your physician, you go to.
All right, Uli, listen, we have a caller online now. So what we'll do is we'll take this caller. You can talk to the caller a little bit after that. I guess we can go into a break after the caller. So we're going to bring on right now. We have Melina online. Melina, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for accepting my call. How are you doing, Uli?
Hi, baby.
Hi,
how
honey.
Are you?
How are you? Thanks for calling
I'm great. Oh, man, I'm glad that I remembered I was at work, and then I remembered, oh, my gosh, it's after 7. I'm supposed to be doing something. And you know what? When you you touched on it, when you really hit me close to home, when you recommended that people get to know their own family background.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
see, I come from a broken-up family. I did
right.
not meet my other family members until I was a grown-up. And
see,
I just... Yeah, I just would love to, you know, reiterate what you said and let people know that, you know, if they come from a broken up family and you find yourself in a situation where you need to find out, you know, what's going on down the line, then go ahead and try and reach out to those family members who you may know exist but you never really spoke to them.
Mm-hmm.
And let them know, say, listen, I've been diagnosed with this, and I know you're my great aunt or you're my
mm-hmm.
father's sister, and just find out as much as you can.
Do you know where it
came
from? Yeah. Do you know anyone else in the family who has
exactly.
ever had X, Y, Z?
Like you said, it is so important. Even when you're filling out information, when you're at the hospital or the doctor's
mm-hmm.
office, you know, that's one mm-hmm. of the first things they ask you about your family history.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So true. So true. And it's so funny because what you just saying that you didn't know your other side until much later on in your life. Well,
right.
you know, we have a similar story. We come from a biracial family. Mother's black, father's white, and my grandmother on my father's side didn't really want to have anything to do with us. So we don't really
right.
have any information from that side of the family.
Right.
However, my daughter, my niece, and another niece have now been diagnosed with Crohn's. And Crohn's is typically a disease of Caucasian. So we know it came from probably
that side,
that
of, the
side
family.
Of the family.
But right.
we had no idea. We had no
exactly.
idea. You know?
Yeah.
So if you can get the information, even if it's just for your own being, if you don't want to have any relationship with them, that's fine. That's
right.
fine, but just for
right.
your own being, dig. Just dig a little deeper.
Yeah, that's what I really wanted to touch on. I wanted to let people know that not to be afraid to reach out to those
oh.
family members and hinder your own health. Do not
now,
hinder your own
have you been tested?
Health. I
have
been, and I, actually
that's
I'm
wonderful.
Due for another mammogram now. I've had one.
You
I had
might
a mammogram.
Go with me.
I will. Sister, you know I'll hold your hand. Yes, I will. Yes, I will.
Yeah.
You let
I don't
me
know
when.
I can't even tell you why I haven't. I can't even give you or anybody a answer to why I haven't, other than the fear.
The fear of knowing. Oh,
of
oh,
knowing.
Of knowing in case it is.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I had that fear too. I suffered. Of course I suffered that fear.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember exactly what it was that, you know, made me go ahead and do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I did. You know, I think it was age,
right.
you know. I'm
right.
no spring chicken. I'm not telling y'all how old I
yeah,
am.
We ain't going on
I'm over 40. I'm over 40. And it was at that point, was, you know, it really it would behoove you to go have a mammogram.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
and I put it off
right.
and I put it off. But I finally did do it. Yeah, and
right,
I'm glad
good.
That you,
I'm happy
we're
to hear
having
that.
This
I'm
conversation
happy.
Because I am due for another one. yes,
well,
I
you're
am.
Due for another one, and I'm due for my first. And I don't want to do the head to... Okay, I'm going to tell you the truth, honestly. There are days when I made the appointment, I'm like, I ain't going to wear. I don't have a lotion on. I don't want to put on deodorant on. I don't want to... I'm not doing all
whatever
that.
Whatever reason, right?
Any excuse. Ooh, I'm always not shooting no lotion and no deodorant. That's just, no, I'm not doing that. And mind you, when I did the second appointment, the place was literally 10 blocks away from where I live. Literally.
Wow.
Literally.
Well, listen. I will go with you. You give me advance notice of that
will.
Appointment. I will do whatever I need to do to make that appointment. You
See,
understand and I mean that.
I do.
Yes, I do.
I do.
All right. All right. It was great
well,
talking.
Honey, it's same here. We're here every Tuesday. Please don't forget to listen and call in. We want to hear more of what you have to say, more of what the rest of the audience have to say. It's so important that we hear other people's voices. It's so
it
important.
Is. Because
it's
you know what? You know what? Everyone's opinion counts, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it may not matter to you, but it may matter to someone
mm-hmm.
else.
someone else.
And we don't have to always agree.
And we're not. Because something you may say may catch somebody, and that didn't even dawn on me to say it. So that's why it's so important that we have more people not just listening in, but calling in and giving us your assessment of what you think can be done, what you think should be said. It's so important. Once again, 646-478-4507. Call in, Melina. I love you to death.
I love you back.
And I'll talk with you soon. Well, my producer is going to come back on the line. I think we're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, I think we're going to switch from talking about cancer to something as important, but has nothing to do with what's inside the body, but inside the head. We're talking about domestic violence. We're going to be talking about that.
Definitely. Once again, the number is, you heard your host, Uli, the number is 646-478-4507. Call in. You know, we're gonna come back because it's going to be all right. Those of faith know that it's the higher power watching over you, and we care about you here on the Every Woman Talk Show. Uli, you want to go into some music?
Yes, let's go into some music.
All right. It's going to be a lovely day, ladies and gentlemen.
Up in the morning, love, and the sunlight hurts my eyes, and something without warning, love, bears heavy on my mind. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
Anything.
Listen in. Good evening. Welcome back to the Every Woman Talk Show. It is Tuesday night, October 14th. We have discussed cancer, breast cancer, cancer in men, cancer in kids. We've talked about cancer in general. We're going to go a little away from that. I want to thank my caller, Melina, for calling in. I want to also thank my producer, Nass, for always holding us down. I also want to give a shout-out to some of the other shows that Shadow World hosts. We have the Every Woman Talk Show, as you know, comes on every Tuesday at 7. We have the Man Up Show that comes on every Friday night at 7. Don't miss the Man Up Show. Then we have the Relations Show that comes on Wednesday nights at 7. They talk about everything from A to Z, a bunch of nasty people listening to that. Then we have a new show coming out called The Flow, and it's about music and all kind of different things. That's Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Do not miss those shows. More importantly, do not miss my show, The Every Woman Talk Show, every Tuesday at 7. We're going to talk a few minutes, and I'm going to close out tonight with our first show. But I just wanted to touch bases a little bit about domestic violence. It's such a touchy subject because we all consider domestic violence a beat down. It's not. Domestic violence also is mind controlling, being physically abusive, being mentally abusive, being emotionally abusive. It comes financially abusive, withholding money from whoever. All that's a form of battery. But there, in our state right now, and what we're thinking, America in general, there's a woman beaten every 15 seconds as we speak. There's somebody being beat somewhere in the world. There are 2.4 million American women who have been abused each year as we are listening to the statistics come, and I'm sure it's more than that because half of us don't talk. We don't tell.
Yeah,
we don't talk,
that's right.
We don't tell. You know, it's crazy because most of the men who abuse have been abused. So they are abusers because they have also been abused themselves. That is no excuse. It's just reality. It just happens. It's just what it is. What do you have for me, Nan?
No, I'm just reading that, you know, I got the stats that you was asking for earlier. One in four women will experience domestic violence in a lifetime. That's a shame. And the stats is probably just longer than that because we have the stats that even reflect young people involved in junior high school. In high school, I mean, you know, we talk about before now. I mean, because the level of abuse on both sides is just ridiculous. Let me see what else. Mm-hmm. Women, what else called the stats? The stats also state women experience more than 4 million physical assaults, rapes because of their partners, and men are victims, like you said, of nearly 3 million physical assaults. So it's kind of like that chain event. Because it happens to one man, you know, and fellas, listen. Stop. I mean, it is no reason, no justification for you doing it, period. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I get a little emotional
but you know
when it comes
let's
to that.
Not just, let's not just say it's no justification for them because it's so funny. When I posted this on my Facebook page, because I always shout out the Everyone Talk Show on my Facebook page, there was a brother who hit me up and he said, you know, is this just for women or can a man give his perspective? I said, absolutely, because there are domestic violence and heterosexual relationships both ways. There are domestic violence and gay relationships. There is no, once again, no color, no race, no religion to that either. So, no, don't hit her, but then don't you hit him and think he's not, you know, it's okay to hit him because he's not going to hit you back. Come on, it's just wrong. It's wrong all the way around the board. If you are upset with somebody and things are not going well, it's time to pack your stuff and leave.
Say that
pack
again.
Your stuff and leave. You need to cool off. Just walk. Walk outside. Let the air hit you. Do something. Do something other than taking your frustration out on flight, or you didn't get paid what you wanted to get paid, or you don't have the job that you want to have, or whatever the excuse you use for being upset, or don't drink. If you think drinking is the cause of you being abusive, then don't drink. Don't do whatever you're doing. Don't make excuses for what you're doing that's wrong.
That's right. You know,
but
also, I just want to add on something to you. You got a lot of listeners online. I mean, I, you know, there's a lot of listeners that sometimes, like you said, they want to listen. The number is 646-478-4507. And if you really want to say something before we close out the show, we want to hear your voice because, you know, there's maybe someone listening that's gone through something. Someone has experienced something. They just want to get it off their chest. Or maybe they want an avenue to, you know, get some direction of where to go to get some help. I mean, please, you know, even the children, Uli, you know, it's another staggering fact.
Oh, that's a whole other story. That's a whole other story, what it does for the kids.
Yeah, every year.
You know, I hate for people to say, I say because of my kids. Do you really think if you're in an abusive relationship, whether he just curses you out, forget this, we're not even just talking about physical, he's just cursing you out and demeaning you every day in front of your children, that is a good environment for your children?
No, it's crazy. It's crazy.
So don't tell me you stay because of your child. Now, I worked for a domestic violence shelter for a very short time, and I saw some horrible, horrible, horrible situations. And the unfortunate thing is when you work in that environment, you don't leave it at work. You take that stuff home with you. It's nightmares. You take that stuff home with you. And it's more the kids that hurt me than the women. I mean, I feel bad for the women, too. Some of them don't know how to get out of it. Some of them are afraid to get out of it. Some of them have tried to get out of it and have gotten killed trying to get out of it. So, yes, talk to somebody before you start making moves. Don't just think you're superwoman, you're just going to get up and leave, because these men and women are crazy. If they're doing these physical things, these mental things, these controlling things, talk, get help before you start making decisions on when you're going to leave and how you're going to leave. Prepare to leave before you do the actual leaving. Prepare. Have everything checked out. Have where you're going, how you're going, when you're getting there, the times you're doing it. Make sure everything is in sequence order, because if you don't, the one mess up could be, you know, a final mess up. So we don't want that. And we don't want to promote saying you shouldn't be in an abusive relationship, you should just walk away, because we all know that's not that easy. It's not that easy.
Right, absolutely, absolutely. You know, it's crazy. I'm sitting there just as you're talking, I'm just reading through more stats. You know, they're saying, according to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, domestic violence is the third leading cause of homelessness among families.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it
mm-hmm.
just has a trickle-down effect. And they're also mm-hmm. saying the number one fact, the most domestic violence incidents are never reported. And also that goes into a lot of our people of color. I'm talking about our we have people in America who may not be registered. They may not be registered Americans. They're illegal aliens and stuff, mm-hmm. stuff like that. Because they're reported, because if they report, they're afraid they're going to be deported. Maybe
I think
case
more
the
people of finances don't report. More so than that, because it's a stigma that you don't want posted on him or you. He beats you, and you have this perfect life, or you have this perfect marriage. I think, you know, it's a kind of crazy scenario, but I think that we don't want that stigma.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want that stigma. So it can go around the board. Like, we know why you won't do it if you are running from the law. You're not going to tell if you're running from the law, because you know what's going to happen, you know. But I think in the cases where everything is kosher, the reason why we don't tell are for so many different reasons. One, they're so in love, they don't see the fault in what that person is doing to them. Or they're so afraid that they will never tell, and they'll live that life until they just can't live it anymore. And that's when what happens is that persists. And then what happens is you retaliate, and what happens? You go to jail for hurting the person who's been hurting you all this time, which is so absolutely crazy.
Yeah, yes it is. It's definitely crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to stand up. You got to speak up. I mean, I know it's hard. I know sometimes you do it, you know, you put up with the nonsense for your kids. But you got to think about the bigger picture. For those who's listening, and I'm going to talk to the fellas, let me just talk to the girls. I'm not going to say men, because a man is not going to hit on his woman or
tell
beat on his kids.
It's
just not going to happen. I'm going to say males, mm-hmm. because, you know, being a man, you know, and Lord forgive me on this one, being a man, you don't put your fucking hands on a woman. There's no reason for that, period. Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. There's no reason. Mm-hmm. Listen, if you think
you're a faggot, I don't mean faggot as in gay, listeners. I mean faggot as in you just a plain punk, punk person. That's what I mean. Like you have
absolutely.
If you're you, like, first of all, let's be realistic. Men, women, we already know that you're stronger than us. We God built us certain ways to be able to do certain things. So why would you put your hands on someone who is so much less equipped to beat your ass than another man? You wouldn't say anything to him, but let your woman say something and you're ready to beat her ass. But let a man call you out on something and you don't have anything to say.
No, well, those punks, I call them. You know, listen. If you're in a situation, your woman's cursing you out, like Uli just said, walk away. And like I'm saying myself, we all get heated, our testosterone's going, but you're not proving nothing, man. You know, she puts her hands on you. Let's be honest. It's not an issue. It's not going to come down. When the law comes and they're looking at you, regardless she snuck you in the face or hit you, you're bleeding. And all she has to say, let's just be honest, fellas, it will not work in your favor. So don't look for when she hit me first, and you got
to
prove it.
It used to, Nasty. It used to be like that, but because domestic violence now is all over the board, because there are women who are stabbing the men, there are two women that are fighting, there are two men who are fighting, that doesn't really apply anymore. But here's the crazy thing. Let's just hypothetically say we have our first fight. I curse you out, I hit you with a bottle or whatever. That's going to be our last fight. We're not going to try this again. We're not going to try to replay this role again. See, that's one thing I don't understand. If someone is violent, physically violent, that person is going to continuously be physically violent. They didn't just wake up and beat your ass that night and say, I'm never going to beat you again, honey. And you really believe that? Come on.
That, for me, is
the thing that I don't understand. When they say I can't get out, I get you can't get out, but that's because you've done this now for years or months or weeks, or you've let it play out too many times. So now you're afraid to leave. But the first time someone physically puts their hands on you, that's a problem. Don't pull my shirt. Don't poke me in my head. That's physical to me. That's old nigga. You're going to die. We ain't going to do that. So the minute they start becoming physical like that, you know there's a problem. There's a pattern getting ready to start that you should not want to be a part of.
It's crazy. I have men. You know, you said something struck a nerve. I'm sorry. You have men that use money as power over women. They try to justify their physical behavior or assault on a woman because they may be supporting them. Let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be with no man regardless of the money. Because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I've never seen no money trucks following hearses.
Mm-hmm.
So that money can't go with you. The materialistic things can't go with you. You know, the diamonds and the other cars can't go with you. So, you know, you can do bad by yourself, ladies. You don't have to put up with
that. But if he loves
you,
he wouldn't do that. Right.
But you know,
I remember my oldest brother telling me, and, you know, it's 14 of us, and my oldest brother said to me one day, he said, I think I might have been like 11 or 12, and he said this to me. He said, a man puts his hands on you, I'll kill him. But if you go back to him, I'm going to kill you. That stuck in my head. That stuck in my head as an adult moving on in my relationship. You know, because like I said, if you grab my shirt and be aggressive, if you poke me in, you know, with your finger, being aggressive, that's just the start of thinking that you now have the right to put your hands on me.
And
anybody who knows me, I am too little for somebody to be putting their hands on. So I'm like, and I have a mouth. Oh, my mouth is horrible. I have a horrible, horrible mouth. Horrible mouth. But you know that very early on in my relationship. So if you can't handle my mouth, walk away. Move on to the next one. Because I'm not going to change who I am. You're not going to change who you are. And if the mesh doesn't mesh, it just walk away. Walk away. Walk away.
You're right.
I was hoping to have some callers call in. I was hoping to have one of the directors from one of the domestic violence shelters call in tonight. I guess she... our time.
Well,
we have
a lot of listeners. We, you know, the board is lit up. We have a lot of listeners. And, you know, sometimes people just want to listen. Some who just need to have an understanding of what's going on in their life, you know.
I'm getting
texts right now. I'm getting some alerts saying, you know, great concert, great show. You know, sometimes people just want to listen. Sometimes people want to just hear a different perspective to deal with things. And it's okay, listeners. It is all right. You know, only we come into that time where we're going to start to wrap it up. Do you have any closing remarks or, you know, and also what's the upcoming show for next week, too? Do you have any closing remarks you want
you
to
know,
kind of
I'm a little out? I'm a little on the fence about next week's show. I'm not really sure where I wanted to go. I was thinking, and I'm going to put it out there, and then you guys will know for sure very soon. I was thinking about long-distance relationships, or can you still love after being cheated on? So you guys pick what you want to listen to. Put it out there on Facebook for us. Go on my Every Woman Talk Show page. Let us know. If you don't let us know, I'm going to choose it anyway.
As well, you
far
know what?
As the cancer thing
hours,
is concerned, what do you have?
Hey, listen, give them 24 hours. Listen, because we got to put it in the system. So you got 24
that's right,
hours.
That's right. That's right. That's all right. As far as cancer is concerned, ladies, please go get checked out. Men, do the same. Do not wait. Try to get your history from your family members. And get some, you know, just get checked out. Get a whole physical run-up done on you and make sure you're healthy. Start eating healthier. I promise I am doing that. I have changed so many different things for me, so I'm on a better path right now. Please follow me on that path. And as far as domestic violence is concerned, it's a sad situation, and it hurts. And I don't know really what to say to the women other than please seek help. Seek help. There are so many 800 numbers that you can call and get out of that situation with your family so that you get in a healthier environment for your children so they know that that's not normal, that the way you're living is not normal. Other than that, I love you guys for listening in. Come next week, Tuesday. I'll be here in rare form. I'm giving you 24 hours to pick that subject. If not, I'll pick it for you, and I'll be back tuned in on Tuesday.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Every Woman Talk Show. We're going to take it out with the commercial. Call in. The number is 646-478-457. Booty, any final words as we go to the commercial and close it out?
Nope, we're good. Good night, guys. Thanks for listening in. I was so excited when I was asked to be the host of the Every Woman Talk Show. I think it's a forum where we get a chance to express everything. But the funny thing about it for me is, even though it's hosted by a woman, it's not just for women. I like the views of men and women. I mean, we talk about things from relationships. You can't get one point of view. You have to get both points of view. So it's a show that I think is very versatile. We talk about politics, relationships, money. We talk about all kinds of things. So it's a show I think that everybody would like to listen to. So listen in. Hi, it's Julie Wells from the Every Woman Talk Show, and you're listening to Shallow World Radio.